Morning. It's good to be here. Last night I was walking the dog and the weather was good at the moment. There was the moon shining, there were clouds. And the clouds were chasing on the sky. So every now and then the moon just was hidden and then the moon appeared again. And there were some holes, and then you could see one or two or three stars. And I was reminded of the greatness of God. I mean, I only look at the moon, and I mean, if you look at our distance towards the moon and compare it in to the greatness of the universe and the millions of galaxies which there are, it's just you cannot even mention it, how small it is. But still, I was impressed that the God who created this all and holds everything in his hands, knows even us, you and me. The word says, even if a hair from our head, the Lord Jesus said, falls down, the Lord knows it. If he has counted the hair, let me put it right, when he has counted all our hair, and he knows the bird which falls on the floor, he knows it, he knows everything. So that makes it just great to come together here as people who know him. And we know a lot of things. Let's be honest, we do not know many things. There's so many questions still. And yet, we belong to him, this great, great God, who had so much desire to reconcile us with him, that he gave his only son. And that's what we are talking about in this time of the year, more specifically. The title of the series of sermons you have been listening to, Koen started with it last week, and I may continue for this moment, is The King is Coming. I mean, and if the King is coming, everybody gets prepared, right? I mean, if somebody says all of a sudden, the King of the Netherlands and the Queen of the United Kingdom, they will enter within a few seconds, won't you all straighten our clothes a little? Maybe take a little mirror to look in. We want to prepare. I mean, these are just human people. They have to go to the bathroom just as anybody else. So they are just people. And how great God is. That's incomprehensible. Maybe we can go to the first slide. The title which I chose for this sermon is For the Word of God Will Never Fail. And it's not from this portion of Scripture I will be talking about, but it's from the portion of Scripture before. Actually, Koen spoke about that portion last week, about the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist. But it says there, by the angel Gabriel, which means the man who stands with God. He stands with God. He speaks the word of God. He says, for the word of God will never fail. That's what he tells to Zechariah. But that's a message we can read throughout the whole scripture, right from the beginning to the very last page. For the word of God will never fail. Now, when we think of this time of the year, and when we think of Christmas, and we think of this announcement of the angel to Zechariah and also to Mary, I'm both speaking about Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah. Mary, we all know her, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, the wife of Joseph. In what God is doing in them, and through them, is actually still Old Testament. We read it from the Scriptures, and we read it in the New Testament. We read it from Luke, for instance. But it's still part of the Old Testament. Actually, the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist is an announcement of the last Old Testament prophet, John the Baptist, who would go, like Elijah, before, to straighten the path for him who would follow. He would call the people of Israel to repentance, and they would then be able to receive the Savior, Jesus Christ, the King. The King is coming. That's why John the Baptist was born. And maybe we can go to the next slide, please. It says about Mary. When she had been given this wonderful message that she would be the mother of the Savior by Gabriel. Then we read in this verse 34, in the beginning of verse 40, a few days later, Mary hurried into the hill country, in the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. Now, this needs a little explanation. We will come there. I mean, scroll. just go back for a little. In those days, it says there, between quotation marks. No, not quotation marks. Whatever. You know what it is. in those days, doesn't it refers to the context in which it takes place. In the announcement of the angel, that's where it takes place. In those days, in when God, by the angel, appeared to Mary. In those days, and then we can go through the next slide. She ran to the mountains of Judea. Now, did she go in a Fiat 600? I mean, nowadays, if you have to go somewhere, we might jump on our own little car, or we might jump on a train or a bus and try to get there as soon as we can. And if you go by train, and if you're lucky, you can travel a distance of 100 kilometers easily within an hour, even sure with the car. I mean, but that's not the thing she used. She used either a donkey, at least her shoes. And she probably didn't travel alone. I cannot imagine that this lady, Mary, would just travel alone this long route. And this is a route she could choose. There's the green route and there's the yellow route. The yellow route is through Samaria, a place through which many Jews would not travel because they had an argument with the Samaritans. The Samaritans, takes too long to explain. There were problems. Family problems. They are family. I mean, it's just a bad family fight. So they chose to walk around with a cold shoulder. I'm not saying that Mary did so, but normally people would travel by the Jordan River, then via Jericho, and then up wherever they wanted to go near Jerusalem. Most likely she did that. We should be aware that she didn't get there in a day. It took for at least 3, 4, 5 days, depending on how she traveled. But she went. She went to the hills of Judea. Now we can go to the next slide. And we continue to read. And it says, she entered the house when she came into the mountains of Judea. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you could go to the next slide. You see the joy? I mean, this is just an artist's impression. I mean, probably wasn't that like that at all, but it gets the idea. This is Mary. I mean, she has like a plate on her head. But that's not the plate, of course, but that's how many people like to picture Mary. And she's a really special lady, that's true. And there's Elizabeth, she shouts for joy. The thing is, these two are related. Mary and Elizabeth are related, that's what the Bible says. Now, that's interesting to know. Elizabeth, through her marriage anyway with Zechariah, was part of the priestly family. She was a member of a priestly family. Mary, through her marriage, was part of the royal family, the family of David. So the interesting thing is that in Mary we see come together priesthood and kingship. So already pointing to whom she would give birth. She was about to give birth, or she would be giving birth in 9 months, of a son who would be king and priest at the same time. This is what I find awesome, that God uses all these things and people in his plan. And he uses these wonderful women. Just imagine, women in the New Testament, I just said the announcement and everything was still a little bit, but still Old Testament. But you can see that women in the Bible have a tremendous role to play. Quite often we just stick with Eve. But she was only one. Only one. And Adam, just the same, made the same sin. So let's forget about Eve for a moment and think about Mary. Mary who completely opens up for God and is obedient to him. So these two women meet, and then the presence of the Holy Spirit takes over in everything. Even Elizabeth, in the Old Testament way, is filled with the Holy Spirit, because in our time the Holy Spirit is poured out. Then the Holy Spirit was given on purpose. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given on purpose to give a word, to prophesy, to make a statement to people, or in this case, to Mary. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, this baby in her jumped up. No wonder the baby jumped up, because what did Gabriel say about the baby, about John? He would be filled with the Holy Spirit from the mother's womb on. No wonder when the mother, and particularly the child within the mother, the Son of God, priest and king, approaches, of course the Holy Spirit reacts. Of course the child jumped up. And of course when the Holy Spirit takes over, Elizabeth, who was like a common ordinary woman, she speaks God's word towards Mary. Maybe we can go to the next slide. Yeah, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and you, your child, is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." And that's exactly what it's all about, that the Lord would do what he said. He spoke to Elizabeth, through Elizabeth, and she said, "The Lord will do what he said." And then there is this reaction of Elizabeth, of Mary. Maybe you could go to the next slide. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me." So Mary's reaction to Elizabeth is immediately putting herself in perspective what God is doing. She's not pointing to herself, but she's pointing to what God is doing. She starts to give him all the glory which she can give. And in Mary's Magnificat, as it is quite often mentioned, her worship song of praise, she proclaims undoubtedly by the guidance of the Holy Spirit the truth of God's word. When she speaks these words, when she sings these words, or however she uttered them, she speaks God's word. She praises God for the great things he has done for her. It amazes her that God chose her to be the mother of his son. It's something she cannot comprehend. And she's called a servant to serve God. So here we can see that in what Mary says, if you in whatever time it has been happening, take the word of God and read it and take it to yourself. And sometimes you don't get it. Sometimes you don't understand it. Don't worry about it if you don't understand it every time. Just take it and read it. There will be a moment, like we just saw with Mary, there will be a moment when it makes sense, when the Holy Spirit will be poured in, and these words which are like dormant in your heart will come out and live and speak truth. You cannot prepare for the holy thing God is doing. God prepares you and me to do what he has called us to do. And he makes Mary an instrument, a loved instrument in his hand. An instrument sounds so, sounds not even the best word for it. His child, you could say, to be the mother of the great king, the high priest. And then she speaks of God's love and care, his grace, forgiveness, and also for the rehabilitation he is giving to those who fear him, his righteousness and his faithfulness towards all of God's people. Maybe you can have the scripture following. Yeah. Says there, he shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. You see, he shows mercy from every generation to all who fear him. But he also says, she says, his mighty arm has done tremendous things beyond what we can comprehend. And then she says, this is so important. Quite often we think that when we talk about God, God is only allowed to say good things, but he doesn't, when he, and when he speaks good things, they're all not always sound nice in our ears. But they're still good because he speaks within it his righteousness. It's not always up on the mountain, but sometimes it's in the valley where God teaches us. I think, from my own experience, God has taught me probably more in the valley than up on the mountain. Because up on the mountain, I'm in the clouds with my mind. And I'm enjoying the view. But when I'm down, that's when I look up. That's why I've learned a lot. She says, he has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. The proud and haughty ones. Who are the proud and haughty ones? Those are the ones who do not pay attention to God, to his word, to his righteousness, to his goodness. Does God, in his righteousness, exclude any person? God's righteousness does not exclude any person. There's no person on earth that is excluded from God's righteousness. But the thing is, if you're not excluded from the righteousness of God, it has a consequence. If you accept the righteousness of God as given for you, that you are saved and redeemed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and you accept his righteousness, then yet truly you are righteous because the blood of Christ made you righteous. But the righteousness of God comes also to the proud and haughty. It comes to them, but their reaction to it is not the acceptance, is not repentance, like John the Baptist would come to call the people to repentance. They do not repent. So for them, the righteousness which they receive will be a judgment. Not because God judges them, but because they themselves put them in the judgment. That's something very important. What I think Mary is telling in her song, she tells about the greatness of God's righteousness and God's goodness. Then Mary closes the song. We can go to the next. We are almost there. It's about time to stop. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abram and his children forever. Here she starts to again mentioning and emphasizing that God keeps his word. When God speaks, he does it. When God spoke, the earth came, the life and everything came into being. When God spoke to Abram about the promise, it came into being. When God spoke to Jacob that he would be Israel, It came into being. God spoke through Jesus to you and me, and will come to pass. He will come and will take us with him. One day, when he will return as king, we will recognize him as king, and it will be a joy beyond comprehension when we meet him eye to eye, face to face, and we can reach to him, and maybe see his nail-scarred hands. Probably we have to busy with looking into his eyes, because then the wounds do not matter anymore, but the wholeness of him matters. In close, 56th verse, Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months, so she should have been almost delivering Elizabeth at that time. Doesn't say she was there to help, but Mary stayed there and went back home to her own town. She didn't start a ministry. She didn't start follow me, I'm Mary, the mother of Jesus. She just went home, took everything in her heart, and waited, not in a well where we will see, no, waited with expectation and hope, because she knew deep in her heart that the word of God is always true. The word of God will come to pass. Amen.